Father in heaven, you are greater. You have conquered the grave. You have given us life. Greater are you, Lord God. And so we celebrate the gift of life you've given us. And now, Lord, that you would bless the words spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are starting a 3-week series on mentorship, and we're going to be looking at 3 different relationships in Scripture. One is today, as you saw in the reading, Elijah and Elisha, the 2 E's that we always get confused at saying. Next week will be Paul and Timothy, and the last week will be Naomi and Ruth. Now, Naomi and Ruth is on Mother's Day Sunday. Women out there, this is what I need from you. You know if you're a woman. This is what I need from you. I need you to write me an email and tell me about a woman that had an influence on your life and mentored you. Write a paragraph, send it to me. I'd like to share some of those on Mother's Day Sunday. pastor@bloomfieldcross.org. Think about the women in your life, write a note to me, and tell me something about them. All right, ladies? That's your homework assignment. It's striking when we talk about mentorship. I think some jobs are really, really interesting. And you're going to see where I'm going with this. It's an unusual story, but you'll see where I'm going. There's this guy who really likes grizzly bears. He and a camera guy went into some mountain valley in Alaska, and they lived among the grizzlies. Okay, just the start of that story is bizarre. First of all, who wants to live among grizzlies? And second, they're in Alaska, which could be cool. Literally cool and literally cool. There he was watching, and I remember watching this on Nature on PBS. There he was watching the spring life of a grizzly, and it was their mating season. And they're in this lush valley, and there's the cameraman, and there he is as the narrator. And they're watching these grizzlies get ready to mate. Of course, I'm in my living room feeling quite safe watching them in dire death-defying moment. The big males, the big boys, and the less big females, because all grizzlies are large, gathered to create the next generation. And it wasn't easy. Now, this is why it wasn't easy. You see, the male bears, the male boy bears, would fight each other to see who would get the female bears. We're watching this on TV. They would bite each other. They would take their big bear claws and whack the other bear. All the boys are duking it out. Who's going to get the woman? Isn't that, ladies? There they are. There's puffs of fur flying. There's bears barking. They're up on their haunches, beating each other all up. The guy narrating us kept us posted on the play-by-play, kind of like a sports channel. And he kept saying, "See the old bear. Look at the old bear. He's getting beaten up by the young bear," which didn't make me feel good at all. Then you would see the old bear walk away. Yes, what you found is there was a pecking order on who actually could mate. And so the young bear would win and beat out the old bear. And that got me thinking about mentoring. Wasn't that a good transition? Yeah. Dwayne said, "Well, that's an interesting transition." Mentoring is actually preparing the next generation to take your place. In a very real way, what mentoring is the old bear helping the younger bear have the passing of the mantle. That's what mentoring is. It's actually preparing someone to take your place. Of course, we can ask the question, is how well do we do the passing? Because the mantle will get passed. It does get passed. You can say, "I'm not going to pass it." And I've seen that over the years where there's a resistance of having transition. But transition will always come. It cannot be stopped. It will come at one point or another. It will always come. And after looking at this grizzly bear movie, I thought to myself, this is the way the world really does a transition of power. That's how the world does it. You have to beat out, the younger has to beat out the older and take the arms of power. And you see that in nations all over the world that are authoritarian. You have to kill the guy to take his place, and then you kill all his supporters. And by the way, read Scripture. Scripture shows you transition of power, and it's not pretty. Just watch Solomon becoming king. And David tells him before he dies, he says to his son Solomon, clean house. Clean house. Go and look. You'll see. See, the transition of power can be ugly. Then the young bear, of course, grows up to beat up the older bear until another younger bear can beat him up, and the cycle keeps duplicating itself, except there is a better way. Did you all hear that? There is a better way. So you have the younger bear who beats up the older bear goes on his way, but ultimately the younger bear does grow up, and then the younger bear gets beaten up by the next generation. And we see this world that operates by the system of power, and the power can be by physical strength, emotional strength, whatever the strength is, financial strength. They always will beat up the next. Mentoring, we know, is a powerful tool. It's actually, I found this out in preparation for this message. I had no idea. I should have known, but I did not know. January is called, quote, National Mentoring Month. Did anybody know that? What? See? You can walk out with lots of trivia from my messages. Amazon has an assortment of books. I Googled it. Went to Amazon, said, give me names of books. The Leader's Guide to Coaching and Mentoring. The Mentoring Church, How Pastors and Congregations Cultivate Leaders. Helping Others to Win, 10 Keys to Effective Mentoring. Mentoring Black Male Teens, and so on and so on. There was an assortment of books. It's obvious that the industry is quite committed to some kind of mentorship. For individuals, what do we know about mentoring? Studies show that good mentoring can lead to greater career success. We know that good mentorship can give you promotions, raises, increased opportunities of some kind. Organizations that embrace mentoring, they know this, they've studied it, are rewarded with higher levels of employee engagement, retention, and knowledge sharing. In fact, mentoring has proven so beneficial that 71%, huge percentage, of Fortune 500 companies offer mentoring programs for their employees. All of this is obviously successful. And yes, in a very healthy way, how does the old bear help the younger bear? In a healthy way. Notice that? These are healthy transitions. But I'm here to tell you, there's a better way. So the old bear beating up the younger bear, or the younger bear beating up the old bear, I think there's a better way. Mentorship programs that really encourage an older employee working with a younger employer, great programs, but I think there's a better way. Elijah appears out of nowhere, we see in the reading today. There is no official calling. When we read about him in 1 Kings chapter 17 to 19, he just kind of appears. We don't see, and oftentimes we see with prophets that there will be a calling. You'll see a point where God calls them out, but not so with Elijah. What we get is Elijah appears, and the first thing we see is that he confronts an evil king, and that evil king's name was Ahab. He comes to Ahab, and he calls him out for his lack of faithfulness and says there will be a famine in the land. That's in 1 Kings chapter 17. When you read through 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, and 19, Elijah is a force to be reckoned with. He is a man filled with the authority of God. He provides flour that doesn't end throughout a famine, preserving the life of a woman and her young son. We read about that in 1 Kings 17. He raises a young boy from the dead. When all was dead is dead, in the name of the Lord God Almighty, he raises this child from the dead, who, by the way, was not Jewish. Ultimately, the story many of us will remember is he confronts the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And on Mount Carmel, he challenges 450 prophets and defeats them soundly. And God brings lightning down from heaven and burns up an offering in honoring of the God See, Elijah is proclaiming that God is the God of gods, and he's looking at the people of Israel. You are the people of Yahweh. You're the people of God. Do not abandon your faith. And then destroys this prophet of Baal. God is the God Almighty. Elijah is a force to be reckoned with. Yet we know after that confrontation from chapter 18 into chapter 19, Elijah is forced to flee. And part of the fleeing, you see, Ahab's wife got really angry. Her name was Jezebel, and Jezebel had decided to kill Elijah. And so Elijah was forced to flee, and he's in fear and is fleeing. You think, you are such a man of faith. How could you so in trepidation flee away? But he does, because Elijah is a man. He's a human. He's us. And we could have the strength of faithfulness and then the next moment flounder. Amen? Yeah, you could say amen. I don't know anybody that's consistent forever. We are not. We are people that roller coaster. And in certain seasons, we can be strong voices of the Lord God Almighty. And in some seasons, we feel very weak. And here in chapter 19, we see an Elijah that flees and he ends up in a cave. And God comes to him and tells him to get out of the cave. In a still small voice. And then he tells Elijah, this faithful man, I want you to pass the mantle to a young bear. Because God is saying to Elijah, there is a better way. In John 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples on Maundy Thursday. That's the reading that Jeff just did a minute ago. And it's during the Passover meal. So what John records is the instructions that Jesus gives, the extended conversation. We know about the Lord's Supper, and we know about the betrayal, and so on. But there was more that went on, and John just gives us the extended conversation, the details of that conversation. He says this in John chapter 14. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And look at the next line. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. But look at the passing of the mantle here. See what Jesus is saying? Oh my goodness. He says, he will do, that follower of Jesus will do even greater things than these. Think about that. Jesus feeds the 5,000. And he's saying in this text, you can do that. Jesus heals a blind man, and he's saying to his followers, you can do that. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. You can do that. You, he says, become Elijah to the world. Oh, no, he's not saying that. What he is saying is, you become me to the world. You become me. You go out into the world, and I am giving you the mantle. And Jesus says, you will do even greater things than these. Greater things. Greater things than these. Whoa, that means you and me? Jesus, the one who died on the cross and resurrected from the dead, is saying to you and to me, we can do greater things? Yes. I think we hold ourselves back. I think we get in the way. And the power of the Holy Spirit is to unleash us onto the world. And we hold ourselves back from that Holy Spirit unleashing. For God wishes to use us as his vehicle in the world. And yes, the old bear goes to the cross and dies. And then he resurrects from the dead. And he says to the young bear, go out and do it. Do it. Take my message to the world. Speak it. Live it. And people will be transformed by that message. This is the greater way. We are called, as Peter notes this. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Be assured, this is the better way. Jesus himself has given you an inheritance. And in John 14, he says, in that inheritance, you will do greater things. I am going to I'm going to pour upon you the authority of the Spirit. And you will take that inheritance, and that inheritance never perishes, and that inheritance never spoils, and that inheritance never fades. That is the better way. It's an eternal way that goes beyond the life, this life, to life eternal. And this is what I wish to give people. This is what I wish. It is what I wish when I work with people, because now, oh gosh, I'm the old bear. I can't help it. It happens, and someday it'll be you. Right? Yeah. You know, no, just you, Dan. So you go, what do we have to give, folks? My friends, you who are older than me, thank you. See, the call of Jesus doesn't end. What do we as older give to the younger? And what's it going to have for eternal significance? See, my career has been in church work. I can certainly speak to ministry for 46 years, whatever it is. And I can speak to that. I can. It's been my world. But I can speak to it like it's a business. Are churches businesses? Yeah, they are. They are businesses. They are small businesses. That's the raw part of it. On the powerful part of it, we are a faith-impacting community. But we have to do things in good stewardship. We have a building that has to be maintained. There's always something breaking. That's part of the business part. But we do have a greater mission. Now, I can talk business, church business, and never get to the greater goal. And I've seen that happen. You and I, we can spend time as a congregation talking church business, because there's a lot of it, and never get to the greater goal. And the greater goal is that the name of Jesus impacts the world, and that the name of Jesus transforms people into a greater calling, and that the name of Jesus brings people into eternity, a promise for all time. That's an inheritance we have the freedom to give away. And this is what I want to do. I want us to pay it forward to the next generation. I do. I want us to pay it forward. So whatever, the fact of the matter is, am I going to be gone at some point? Yes, I am. I'm going to be gone at some point. I am. That's kind of, you know, vacancy pastor, like vacant. 3 years and I think 4 months now. Vacant. I don't care about that. What I care is that whatever I've done pays it forward, that the name of Jesus has been encouraged in your hearts, that the Spirit speaks into your heart to know that you're not just surviving and sustaining, but that the Spirit is calling you to step forward. And sometimes it means walking on water. Or as one definition of faith is stepping out into the seeming void to find the rock beneath. But you got to step out. If I can pay that forward so that this old bear can give that message to you young bears, to you who are in the congregation, old or young, then I've done my calling. And that's what I want you to do. You see, Elijah meets Elisha. Now, we're not told much more. We don't know if Elijah knew Elisha before this. We just know that God told Elijah to go to Elisha. And you can get confused over all the Elijah-Elisha thing. You can. And you will. But I'm just telling you, Elijah the old bear has to go to Elisha the young bear, and he's going to pass on to him the mantle. And sometimes there's a competition between the old bear when he realizes or she realizes that the young bear is going to take their place in getting attention. And we know that. We know in the real world that when you get into your mid to late 50s, getting a new job is pretty tough. We know that. It's all statistical. Because, see, the young bears are starting to get the attention, and the older bear, who has lots of wisdom, isn't quite as appreciated. We know that. That's by the world's standards. That's not by biblical standard. The biblical standard is, this old bear has a lot to say. I'd say it. And Elijah is that old bear. Elijah had the heart of God. And we don't know how long from the calling to Elijah leaving, the reading from our Old Testament, we don't know what that span is. We oftentimes read it like it's overnight. He called him, and the next day there was a chariot of fire, and Elisha went to heaven. Elijah went to heaven. See, I just did it. Elijah went to heaven. We don't know what that span is. What I have a hunch is that Elisha followed Elijah around, and he saw the heart of Elijah. He kept hanging with him. You see, most mentor programs have the older modeling to the younger how things are to be done. It's more than simply being told, and not even just seeing it. It's just seeing the attitude of the person and being shoulder to shoulder with the person. And then we get this crazy story at the end of it. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire, a chariot of fire came and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. What a, you want to say goodbye. What a way to say goodbye. This is it. A chariot of fire comes down, and then Elijah's in a whirlwind and goes up into heaven, and Elisha looks at it and he cries out, which I think is an understatement. I think he screamed. And he screams out, my father, that's Elijah, that's how he addressed Elijah, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. You've gone home. It's over in a matter of seconds. And when you read the text, there's kind of a miraculous silence there. And then it says this, Elisha picked up the cloak, we would call it the mantle, what Elijah would wear, that was his symbol of authority. It was left on the ground. And Elisha turns and picks it up. And then it says this in the text, he goes to the Jordan River and he's rolled up the cloak and he touches the water with the cloak, and the waters divide. And Elisha walks across the water. The older bear gave the most precious gift to the younger bear, his deep and rich faith. It's what I think about all the time, now that I have little grandbabies, pastor of a congregation. What can I leave? A deep and rich faith. Now, I'm going to tell you, the grizzly bear story is really interesting. And you could certainly Google it, grizzly bear stories, and you'll get a whole bunch of stuff. There's lots of people that it seems like it's fairly popular to hang out with grizzly bears. I go, okay, we'll go with a camera, and then you watch these big guys, and they do come at you, and people do die. It's a powerful and a wild beast that is not tamed. You don't have pet grizzly bears. Y'all get that, right? From one generation to another, power makes right for the grizzly bear. And it may be the way of people as well. But I'm just telling you, in this world where power seems to make right and might, there is a quiet voice, a very quiet voice, that's saying, follow me. Follow me. There's a better way. Follow me. And it happens with a death and a resurrection. And the might of heaven shows us an eternal way. And may we, no matter our age, may we look at the next generation and pour ourselves into them so that they may know the hope of Jesus. And may we give them an eternal mantle that demonstrates clearly that our God lives, that our God is the resurrected Lord. And what Jesus said in John 14, we are free to do greater things, more than you and I could ever imagine. So yeah, go out and hug a bear. Hug a bear. In Christ's name, amen. Would you please rise and let's do the